And learn to look for that. And learn to grow in that. And learn how to praise God in the midst of that. That's what God calls us to do. And that's what we should do. Because we've been given spiritual life. And we've been given the ability to do this very kind of thing in faith, just like Abraham did. So we can get through the ordeals of life. And we can do so without cursing God. We can do so while we're praising God and while we're preparing to worship God as Abraham was. Now I want to come back to that's Abraham's experience. Now one more experience. We talked about last week. I want to add one more thing about this week, and that is the experience of Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. We talked moments ago about how God will provide the sacrifice. Well, he certainly did that in his son Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, we read, "For I delivered unto you, first of all," this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, "of all that which I also received," and this is part of it, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, this is the resurrection of all resurrections, okay? Many will be resurrected. But this is the first and greatest resurrection of all. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, who had absolutely died on that cross. The experts of execution, the Roman soldiers that were present, testified to that. They said he was dead. So he died there on that cross. And his body was taken down and put into a tomb, only to rise up again 3 days later. Now, this is the resurrection that Jonah's experience in the belly of the fish is pointing to. This resurrection of Jesus Christ is what all the Old Testament pointed to and what all the New Testament pointed back to. Jesus Christ is resurrected. All of our hopes in God rest on the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. That is a testimony to us of God's power to raise up the dead. And that's very important, as we're going to see in a moment, in a spiritual sense. But it's also testimony to us that someday, should we die and be in a grave when Jesus returns, that our body's going to be raised up again. And that physical body's going to be glorified. And we're going to have an eternal body to dwell in for all of eternity, all because of what Jesus did. So let us always praise the name of Jesus, because he was resurrected. And I want to go to one more place. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Right away you should know probably what I'm about to talk about. We've talked about Jonah's experience. We pointed out an experience that Abraham had. We've looked to Jesus and his resurrection, not just for a few minutes this morning, but last week and a few weeks ago on Sunday night when we preached about resurrection. Now I want to point to the sinner's experience. I want to bring all of this home to you and I. This is more than just the story of Jonah and the great fish. This is more than just a story of what Abraham experienced. This is about God's power to raise you and me from the dead, spiritually speaking, and give to us life that we did not have before. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive. He is made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." To hear some evangelists talk about it today, you were just kind of sick and God came along and healed you. No, folks. Because of sin, both Adam's and ours, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. A dead person can do nothing for themselves. Nothing. All they can do is be dead. And spiritually speaking, that truth carries over. A person who is spiritually dead can do nothing for themselves. They can't go to church enough. They can't say a prayer enough. They can't be baptized or join the church or whatever enough for themselves to bring themselves to life. They can't do it. It says, "And you hath he quickened." The only way someone can be raised from the dead spiritually is if God gives them spiritual life. Verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Well, I thought you said a dead person can't do anything. Here people are sinning, they're doing something. Well, no, this is talking about the flesh. This is talking about us physically. A person can be spiritually dead and still be physically alive. That's just the way it is. And in our physical, our flesh, we sin mightily against God. Before we're quickened, we follow after the devil. We follow after everybody else who's sinning in this world. And we sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin against God. But look at verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead spiritually in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." So he takes that spiritually dead, physically sinning sinner, and gives that person spiritual life. That's the work of God in us. You can't do that for yourself. I can't do that for you. Nobody else can do that for you except God. God and God alone gives spiritual life. And why? Because he is rich in mercy and he has great love for us. Verse 6, "And hath raised us up together." What is that? That's resurrection. He raises us up, spiritually speaking, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God is bringing about a great work in the midst of a sinful humanity. He has ordained that some should be saved, and he gives to them eternal life. Everyone who is ordained to believe will believe. They will be quickened, and they will believe in God, in Christ, as their Savior. And he does this for a purpose. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He is setting aside for himself a people who will follow him and will do good works in his name. Those who remain in their sins and do not believe on Christ are like Jonah. They're cast down into the seas to drown in the depths. And all they're going to do is descend further and further and further into eternal death. But God has prepared a great fish. A great fish that will swallow up those whom he has chosen. And the result is going to be a resurrection. The result is going to be an escape from the death that we deserve. And we're going to be given a new life and a new opportunity to serve God with that life. And I'm going to tell you something. That's exactly what Jonah's going to do. He's going to hit the ground running. He's going to get to Nineveh, and he's going to do what God's told him to do. And that's what can happen for you. I don't know everybody's heart here. I can't. Well, God certainly does. I don't know what you've experienced in life. I don't know where you're at right now. It may be that you've been born again. It may be that you have been serving God like Jonah and for some reason chose a path of rebellion and you've been fleeing away from God. Know this, God will bring you back to himself. And the quicker you realize that, the better it'll be for you. And there is nothing like the soothing, forgiveness of God that comes upon us when we have sinned and then repented of that sin and turned to him for forgiveness. There's nothing like it. I think we're afraid God's going to slap us around or something, but he doesn't. He welcomes us back into his arms, and he loves us. And that's a beautiful and it's a wonderful thing. For some out here, you've never made that profession of faith in the Lord. You've never believed in Christ. You've never said, Christ is your Savior. And right now, it may be that God is dealing with your heart. And inside, you're in a bit of a struggle. And you're really beginning to think, you know what? I need to believe in Christ. And if that's what you're thinking, I want you to understand something. That likely means that God has quickened your soul already. And all you need to do is believe on Christ. And be converted. And begin to experience what it means to be born again. And to be a follower of Christ. It may be that God has sent a great fish to swallow you and bring you to a place of faith and repentance. Believe on Christ and experience his resurrection power. Know what it is. Profess faith in Christ and follow him into a life of good works that he has ordained for you to walk in. Will you do that? That's the invitation of God to you this morning. Will you believe? And will you follow Christ? Let's bow our heads. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love, your grace. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin, for salvation, eternal life, things that we could not do for ourselves that you have already done for us. Oh, Lord, just transform us now. And may we be the followers of Christ that bring you great honor and great glory. Lord, I pray if anyone here has not made a profession of faith in Christ, that they would do so. I pray if anyone here needs to come back to you in repentance, that they would do so and find that precious forgiveness that you give. Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. What number shall we sing?